stand deep.
My name is Sandeep, and I'm an alcoholic. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to speak, and I'm very grateful to be here right now. My sober date is May 15, 2014. Okay, so I'll explain what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I was born January 12, 1989, in West Islip, New York, to a relatively normal family. I have an older brother and an older sister, and my parents are still together. They've been married for 41 years. My parents are from India, so it was a little bit of a culture shock when I told them that I was addicted to drugs and an alcoholic. So that was interesting. So when I was a kid, everything was relatively normal. You know, I went to elementary school in California. When my dad moved, he bounced around a lot because he had a lot of jobs. He got laid off. He was an engineer. And so I went to elementary school there for a little while. Then I moved to Fort Walton Beach, Florida. That's where I predominantly grew up. School was fine. I was into sports, you know, with my siblings showing me the way. My sister was relatively older, so she was already in college in California when we moved to Florida. And I only got to spend a few years with my brother. He was one of the people that really took care of me. My sister and brother are relatively normal from what I can tell, but that's to be determined. So I was very competitive, very academic, you know, with my family. We have very high standards. My brother's a pharmacist. My sister's a teacher. My dad was an engineer. And my mom works at Walmart, which she just does to stay active. She didn't really have to work. She's just a hard worker. And so school was fine. Everything was good. You know, I had a lot of friends. I'm very sociable. And that could be catch 22. It could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. You know, I kind of found myself in the wrong groups a lot of the time. I didn't start drinking until I was about 16 years old. I started real slow. But from the first time I ever drank, I had sips of beer when I was a kid and I didn't really like it. So that kind of turned me off from beer for a little while. But when I turned 16 and a half, I would go to parties with friends, and I tried Captain Morgan and Coke because I knew you could mix it, and it tasted a little bit better than beer. But from the first night I drank, I got drunk and I blacked out. And ever since then, that's really how I categorize my drinking. When I drank to get drunk. There was no end, ifs, or buts about it. That led to me picking up marijuana. For a while there, I was super against it. I was like, man, I hung out with a lot of people that did drink a lot and did smoke a lot of pot. And I was just like, man, y'all need to stop that. You guys need to do better. And then I stopped hanging out with those people, and I got with another crowd in which I thought was going to, you know, benefit me a little bit more in the social world, which it did. But that included to drink more than I used to. So I basically was a huge hypocrite, like one of the biggest hypocrites you could find. And so I started drinking almost every weekend, you know, halfway through junior year. And I had a blast. You know, I had a great time, even though a lot of the times I didn't remember what happened. The stories I heard afterwards were pretty intense and amazing that I made it out. You know, I was like, wow, dude, I made it home. That's pretty cool. And so it was interesting dynamic in those regards, and I don't know why I didn't catch myself earlier. Maybe because I wasn't really taught about that. You know, I really wasn't explained to, because I didn't see my parents drink too much. My siblings were older than me, so if they did drink, I didn't get to see it. So I ran for senior class president, and I got that, and so that just kind of boosted my ego a little bit more. I was like, yeah, I'm entitled to do this kind of stuff. You know, I'm getting good grades. I got all A's through high school. And I was very athletically involved and involved in the school. So I was like, yeah, I can do this. You know, if I can balance all of these things, everything will be fine. And it continued every weekend, drinking. And then it led to me smoking pot almost every day. I would smoke pot before football games. And after the football games, I would drink and take Xanax. And one thing led to another. And that carried on for a while. And I blacked out numerous times throughout that period. And so I got accepted to Florida A&M University to go to pharmacy school in August. I was started in August of 2007. And that really just opened the doors, because now I was out of the house and didn't have to worry about my parents. They were actually across the country in Seattle at this point, because my dad had taken a job. And that caused me to be a little homesick. And in order to cure that homesickness, I started to hang out with a lot of people that drank a lot. And at first, it started with just Friday, Saturday going out. And I was able to manage that. And I was able to go to school and do pretty well. You know, I was taking a lot of credits and doing everything I needed to do academically, so I felt like it would be okay to get a reprieve for the weekend, to just have a few drinks and have a little bit of fun. And every time I went out, it wasn't just a few drinks. I would find myself dancing on a table, and I'm just looking at pictures. I'm like, how did that happen, and when did that happen? And you don't remember? I was like, no, I don't remember at all, really. But then that led into Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because if anybody knows about Tallahassee, really the night to go out is Thursday. So I would go out a lot on Thursday, and then that would lead me to miss class. And I don't know, I made it. I had good rapport with the teachers. I always stayed after class, you know, to talk with them, make sure that I was in good grace. And I got into pharmacy school because they grandfather people in as long as you have certain requirements. And I met those requirements. I got into pharmacy school, and the first year was fine. Same type of drinking, you know, same type of partying habits. Then I got my own townhouse, and that led to a whole array of things. You know, I started skipping class on a regular basis because I knew there were PowerPoints available. And PowerPoints are awesome. You know, you can get everything you need without going to class. I was like, that's a pretty sweet deal. And I would still do good in school, but I started to see my grades slipping a little bit because I wasn't showing up to class, and my teachers would be like, you could have got a better grade, but you didn't show up to class. And I'd be like, oh, whatever. A B is a B, or a C, you know, whatever. I'm fine. I'm passing. C's get degrees. That was the mantra after about 3 years of college. So, and at this point, I was smoking daily, drinking 3 to 4 times a week, blacking out every time I drank, puking my guts out, but not even, I would puke, brush my teeth, Listerine, sometimes I wouldn't even do that, and I'll go back out, you know. I was like, okay, this is fine, you know, I'm better, I'm kind of sober now, but that wasn't the case at all. So school was school, and I get to my third year, going into my fourth year of pharmacy school, which is your last year, and I had to do rotations, which means every month you would go to a different site and do different avenues of pharmacy just to see what fits you best. And I was having a lot of turmoil in the relationship I was in. It was very toxic. You know, we were both sick. I'm not one to judge, God is, but she was pretty sick. That caused a hell of a lot of problems. Like, you know, it would be breakup to makeup to all kinds of nonsense. And I had a lot to do with that. And that was because, you know, I was under the influence. And when I was under the influence, things didn't really go as well as I thought they would. You know, I thought things would go a lot smoother, but they didn't at all. And so in May of 2012, me and her broke up for like the 600,000th time, and I was about to start my first rotation. I had the month off of May to do research, and then in June I started at the VA in Tallahassee, and after about 2 weeks I got sick. Like, I got a virus, and I was working at CVS Pharmacy there as an intern, and so I actually got withdrawn from the rotation. I had to make it up later. And that kind of like irked me, because I was trying to do everything right. You know, I was getting doctor's notes, and I went to the hospital to make sure that I was fine, and because I wasn't eating and I was very sick. And I still got withdrawn, and that really bugged me. And that sent me down a horrible depression. You know, I was just like, man, what am I doing wrong? You know, asking God, why me? Like, you know, I need to get this done. I'm a perfectionist, and I wanted to make sure that I got everything completed, and I was fearful that things weren't going to go the way I planned. And so that month, I just began working a lot, and in the past, I had a slight addiction to Xanax, and it kind of creeped back up on me because I was in that depression, and I tried to self-medicate, having the knowledge that I did. So when I was working, I started diverting drugs from the pharmacy, and I was taking, you know, handfuls at a time, and I knew how they took inventory, so I was wise enough to not get caught there. And I was going out on a regular basis, getting drunk every night of the week at this point, because I would work from 2 to 9, you know, 3 to 10, and that's the exact time you need to get out in order to go party. So I would go out almost every night. I found myself with one of the biggest cocaine dealers in Tallahassee, one of the biggest ecstasy dealers in Tallahassee, and we would go to the bars and we would basically exchange drugs with the bartenders and the owners of the clubs for alcohol. And we would make money too and meet people, and it was just like, man, this is awesome. You know, I'm making thousands of dollars while making thousands of dollars legally. And you know, it was a tough time in regards to my relationship situation, but overall, I kind of forgot about it because I was so the drugs and just being caught up in that lifestyle. And I kind of knew in the back of my mind that I need to stop. So there would be times where I would stop for like a day, and then I went back like the next day, and then stop for 2 days, and then all hell really broke loose. I found myself at a club one night with a few friends, and we hung out after the club closed because we knew the owners, and we were thinking we're big shit, so we're hanging out with people and doing our thing. And then I leave the club, and what was supposed to happen was I was supposed to be riding with somebody, but my car was there, and they ended up getting in some situation, obviously, because alcohol was involved, and some sort of bickering occurred, and I ended up driving, and I drove from the club to where I was intended to go, and that was probably approximately 2 miles, and if I would have just checked my cell phone, I probably would have got out of it, because I would have went somewhere else, but I didn't, and it's because I was really high on drugs and really drunk, like drunk out of my mind. And I drove, and I was at a green light, and like I guess I was hesitant to start going again, and they said I was speeding. And I was like, man, I was speeding. And I was like thinking, and I had pills and weed on me, and I didn't think twice to eat the stuff because I, you know, why would I do that? I'm trying to save this, you know, this is good stuff here. And so I got pulled over. I was really drunk, and I didn't know. I've never been in a situation like that, so I blew. And I blew a .19, and I got a DUI. And I spent 10 hours in jail, which was like the worst thing ever. But I hear all these stories about people going to prison, and I'm just like, damn, I'm real fortunate that it didn't happen. And I was also fortunate because I had ecstasy in my pocket, and they shook my wallet and didn't come out by the grace of God. And that could have been way worse than what it was. So when I got out of jail, I proceeded to go find my car. I got my car and went home. I had to be at work at 5 that day. And I get home, and my dad is there. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, he drove all the way from Charleston, South Carolina, just to come to my house and say, I am extremely disappointed in you. And he left. And he left. That one hurt. That one hurt a lot. A whole lot. And so I proceeded to work for the next month, still waiting for my rotation schedule to be altered. The professors at school found out. They checked the booking report, and my dean found out, and thank God I didn't get kicked out of school. And so I pleaded guilty to the DUI because I blew, and there really wasn't any way to get out of that. I had felony possession of a controlled substance without a prescription and possession of marijuana under 28 grams, and I had to do drug court for that for a year. And so I managed to, well, That whole thing kind of, you know, I had to be clean for a little while. So I proceeded to graduate from school on time. And It was like 7 months of dryness because I was just waiting for the time to get off drug court probation before I started using again. And 7 months in, I started drinking again and I started using again. And I found like one of the greatest inventions known to man, known as the Wizinator, and synthetic urine. And I started using that and I got off, and I got off a drug court. But in that time, I wasn't allowed to take my boards because the Board of Pharmacy knew that I had got that DUI and that that felony charge. And I got the felony charge dismissed, and the Board of Pharmacy allowed me to take my exams in December. And I took them in January and in March, and I passed. And in that time, I had to get an evaluation by the psychiatrists and doctors that the Board of Pharmacy assigned, and I failed the hair test that they provided. I passed the urine test, and I knew I passed the urine test because I had the Wizinator, you know. And I failed the hair test for cocaine, but at that time I was still drinking, smoking heavily. I quit doing the pills and all that other stuff because that's for the birds. And and so they proceeded to give me options. They were like, you can either go to treatment or you can not practice, or, you know, you basically take your pick. And I had a hard time. I thought I was going to move away and just go to Colorado or California and start from scratch. But this stuff would have followed me. And I checked myself into treatment on May 19, 2014 at Healthcare Connection. And even when I got there, I was in denial with the fact that I was alcoholic, even though I got a DUI and all that stuff happened. But then I started reading the big book and got with a sponsor. And I realized that my drinking was to the point in which I was an alcoholic. And I came to terms with that. And I've been there ever since. I just graduated from day treatment, 90 days, because that was required by my licensing firm. And now I'm in the halfway house there. And I just got news that PRN, the Professional Resource Network, just sent my paperwork on August 22nd to Healthcare Connection, so I'll be getting my license soon and be able to practice. I'm studying for the LSAT because I don't know if pharmacy is really my calling. I love to do what I do, and I know right from wrong now, and I know that I have a disease and that I have to be mindful of what's going on, and I know it, and I know how to take care of people, and I just didn't know how to take care of myself. And since I've been in treatment, I've learned a lot about who I am and what I need as a person. And a lot of doors have opened up. My family's been very supportive of me throughout this process, which was very surprising to me, because there was a lot of shame and guilt and embarrassment because it was a big culture shock for us. And I worked the steps. I'm eligible to sponsor others. That's the first time I ever said that. I'm just really grateful for this opportunity that God has presented me with, a second chance, maybe a third chance, who knows. But, you know, I'm thankful for the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. They definitely showed me that I'm on the path that I was intended to be on, rather than the path I was trying to create for myself, which wasn't going very far, and it was going nowhere in a hurry. I could just imagine how much I would do if I had a lot of money. You know, it would not be good. But now I know that it's not about my profession. It's not about the money. It's about who I am as a person. And I'm going to keep doing the deal because I see where it's gotten me. I see all these people in the room, and I want what they have. And that's about it. Thanks for letting me share. Go Noles.